When was the last time you thanked God for your healthcare? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at redeemhealthshare.org.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon. Happy Friday. Hope everyone's getting a great start, maybe an early start to the weekend. It's definitely that fall-like time has finally hit us. The leaves are down on the ground. I'll tell you, hey, this isn't the worst. I like fall. Fall means football, right? I like a bonfire, one of those fire tables everyone seems to have now. I like that. It's the problem with fall in this fall-like feeling is we all know what's next, right? I love football. I love hockey season. I hate winter, which I know it's like, well, Joe, you have to get to winter, and I get it. I don't like winter. I don't like the freezing cold. I'm in shorts still. Like I'm still protesting that it's we're done with the warm weather. I'm still holding out hope. You know how people like they wait to put their air conditioning on in the spring? I wait, like last night my wife goes, I think it's time for the heat. It's like, no, not yet. I also might have read the thermostat wrong, but that's a different story for a different segment. We were talking electrification yesterday. We had Paul Bologna on, Assemblyman, and we had Congressman Nick Langworthy on talking about that. Assemblyman Bill Conrad, he is a Democrat in the New York State Assembly, and he is joining us to continue that discussion. Assemblyman, thank you so much for joining us, and thanks for reaching out yesterday. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem, Joe. I'm sorry to hear you hate winter so much.
I don't like having to prepare to go outside. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It drags your day. I get it.
Yeah. Now, I one more thing, because, you know, I always talk about Mitch Nowakowski, Brian Nowak, and you know, and Kevin Hardwick, some of my favorite Democrats. I have to say, Assemblyman Conrad ranks right up there. Anytime we're at an event, you're always one of the first people to say hi. So I'm greatly appreciative of that, too. I got to give you the shout out.
Oh, thank you, Joe. I appreciate that. I'm sorry to hear about your Hokies, though.
Well, you know, hey, rebuilding. We're going to pump some more money into that program, and we'll be talking about ACC champs again very soon. My son will grow up knowing the Virginia Tech team that I grew up with.
Well, now, my Notre Dame losses in the beginning didn't help me, so, you know.
No, but they still have a path to the playoffs, unlike the Hokies.
Amen.
Now, yesterday we're talking about electrification, and you pointed out that you voted no on the 100-foot rule. Let people know what exactly that was and how that ties into the electrification.
So the 100-foot rule was a part of a bigger package of a bill called the HEAT Act. And the HEAT Act is the bill that I think a lot of people would align with planning the, I don't know how to put it the best way, but planning to get off of fossil fuel energy, particularly gas. And a lot of my colleagues, particularly in Western New York on the Democratic side, oppose the bill in its entirety. And so I think in an effort to compromise or to settle, those folks that were pushing for the HEAT Act said, okay, we're going to parse it out. And they said, all right, we're just going to pass the 100-foot rule component, which would mean that if you're within 100 feet of a gas line, you would have to pay for the connection instead of the gas company via the ratepayers exclusively. And they pushed it as, I would say, a savings measure. But if you really look at the monetization of how they do the calculation, it goes over 50 years. It really isn't going to, I think, spell out any real savings over the long haul for most people.
Now, you know, this all goes on to the electrification, which the first phase starts in January. Bill, you as a Democrat, how do you view the electrification push by the state?
Well, listen, I have been very, very outspoken on this topic, and I certainly have some folks within my own majority conference that are not exactly thrilled with my position. But at the same time, the speaker is listening to me, and we did not pass the HEAT Act over the last 2 years, 3 years, actually, since they've really pushed for it hard. And I'm talking pushed hard. For me, it's about reliability and affordability in New York. And, I have and represent the 140th in Tonawanda, and I have one of the biggest manufacturing hubs in all the state. And one of the things that I was just at the 3M plant 2 days ago, and we were talking about raw water, and that's something that we were working with them and projects that I'm working with the town. But one of the big key things they keep saying is, this is an electric process. We can't have, energy go down. And right now, one of the biggest threats, not just in this state, but I went to an energy conference in Washington state and met with Oklahoma and Texas and all these other states. We're all going to be facing data centers, AI, Bitcoin, you name it. There's tons of data centers and they're important, but at the same time, they are gobbling up. They're getting bigger and they are taking a lot more energy. And they like upstate New York. We have a cold climate. We have access to water. We have ample energy and we have access to cheap land in some places. And they're looking to come here and other parts of the country that hit that sweet spot. And that's something that I keep hammering over and over again is this is coming on top of what you're pushing on. And for me, being from Western New York, someone who's lived through these storms, everybody after the October storm, I'm not going back to the winter storm, we lost power for 2 weeks. Everybody put gas insert fireplaces in their homes after that because we all went to the neighbors that had those and you kept warm. So for me, I'm all about reliability and affordability. Those are always been the hallmark of what my position is on electrification.
Do you think there is a chance that there are amendments put on this, a hold put on, a stay put on this before January comes around? Because you've got people who are in the middle of a new build who don't know, Bill, if they can put gas hookups to their house. If that part of construction isn't till after the new year, you've got people that are very confused heading into the new season.
From what I understand, the Senator Krueger put out a message, and again, this is politics, right? Like she's trying to pressure the governor to sign the bill. And what we're hearing from the governor's second floor, as you were, is they're taking a look at the reality on the ground. And the reality is some of these things aren't just feasible and they're adding costs to housing. And we talk about housing crisis across the state, and it just isn't working out. These deadlines that we've put on by the CLCPA, which predates my time in office, are very, I would say, nice goals, but they're just not attainable right now, and maybe not for the foreseeable future. We have to take a look at what's available. What are we doing? And I have to say, we're taking generation off the plate as more and more generation stations that create electricity are being mothballed. We have to be able to make sure that we have this yield. We, for 30 years, had a constant amount of energy needed in New York State. Now we're seeing huge 14, 15, 16% increases to where we're thinking almost in the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to need almost 100% more electricity for everything that's going on. We used to measure households in kilowatts. Now we do individuals. So planning energy is a much different thing. We're using much more electricity than we ever have before. And we have to make sure that we have enough to make sure that it is reliable and affordable. So there's a lot of different things that I'm working on in that space. But for me, you know, I gotta say, you know, and I've spoken to the governor's team and my speaker and everyone else, and just saying, like, this is going to be a problem. And by the way, the building code stuff for January came through the building codes. We had, when they passed that all electric component, we put a carve out for Western New York specifically in there because we wanted emergency generation. We wanted all these different things in there. And so they kind of went through the building code group to get that pushed through, not the ledge.
Interesting. Bill, the governor's also talked about nuclear energy as, you know, to make up for this demand on the grid. What do you think about the realistic future of something like that? Is that something you support?
I'm an all options kind of person. You know, SRMCs, I think, is what you're looking at. And we have some, I think, models right in Ontario, and I was just talking to a legislator in Georgia, and they're there, but we're not, I'm going to put this bluntly, we're not efficient as we are with other generation in building. There's a lot of, we haven't been building these as everything. If you know, when the first Volkswagen came out, it had all these problems, but the 20th iteration, it was much more efficient. They figured out the bugs. Well, we've done that really well with a lot of these three-stage generation systems that we have, which is just a turbine spinning a magnet, right, to create electrons. And that we've done really well, where you can contract with GE or whoever, and they will tell you the cost and so on and so forth and have it planned out and built in a year. We don't have that with nuclear. I'm all about nuclear if it is efficient, but there's going to be cost overruns because we just have not practiced that building in a long time. And we're starting to learn from our colleagues, I think, across the border in Ontario and down in the south in Georgia, where they have pursued these SRMCs.
Bill, you know, we also have the push to go all electric when it comes to vehicles, right? The first phase is 35% of sales electric. And that is what it is. I'm more concerned about school buses that are all electric. You know, sure. It gets cold up here and you can't get as many miles out of electric anything when it's colder. And then you add the pull on the battery with the heat. I mean, some of the rural areas of New York State, does that ever seem like a reality?
I have been actively with a number of my colleagues in the majority asking to push the deadline on school buses down the line. There are so many different factors at play here. You just mentioned a couple of them. You know, you're transporting a team. I played Sweet Home football. We used to go down to Jamestown. You take an electric school bus down there, and then there's different charging stations, right? The roads, they're heavier. You know, there's multiple things that are going on. And honestly, one of the biggest challenges is just getting the power to those school bus yards and so on, and the money to do that. You know, this is school budgets are voted on by the community. And we've emphasized that to our leadership and saying, listen, this isn't just not feasible. This is going to be a strain. And we did fix the bus formula for getting your dollars back for what you spend on buses. But these are small fixes, and we're asking for a larger pushback on that.
Again, going to January, when this is going to set in the new year, I mean, like I said, there's a lot of confusion. From now until then, what do you expect to be communicated to the residents, to especially people who are involved in new builds by the state? And do you think any of that could change in these last 2 months?
You know, they should be communicating that. And as always, communication, you know, comes slow. And that's something that I've, of course, been pushing is, you know, not only pushing it back and giving some what I would call discretion here, especially if you have a build in the work already. They say that they're going to have a waiver system or, you know, an ability to kind of get it exempted and so on. But, you know, when does this become too problematic? And, you know, a lot of us have gotten on letters, have communicated to the DEC and NYSERDA and these different agencies and said, this isn't going to make things happen the way you think it is. This is going to stall projects. This is going to have developers not look at Western New York and the rest of the state. These are concerns. Now, there's other folks that are embracing it and going with it, you know, but at the same time, that's not everyone. We were looking at one project that, you know, used geothermal. That was excellent, you know. But at the same time, you got to be able to look at the reality of what's on the ground.
Final question. You mentioned, you know, data centers, AI, all the stuff that, you know, could be looking to come to New York State, have been coming to New York State. Would places like that get some kind of discount for coming, for bringing business to New York State, or would they pay their fair share when it comes to electric usage?
That's a big concern of mine. I don't think they should get discounts personally. I mean, you know, you want to be in a, I think, a business friendly climate. And you certainly, if you have spaces that can accommodate and we have the load. But one of the things that I'm very concerned on is this is going on to the ratepayers. You know, we have to build the infrastructure and we have, you know, it's a 10-year wait for a transformer right now. They only build them in Turkey, South Korea, and Israel. You know, these projects, you know, it's a tax on all of us. And well, there's a lot of us. I just signed on to a bill that Assemblywoman Dee Dee Barrett, who's the chair of energy, a committee I sit on, that is asking for the state, the PSC, to look at those data centers and the infrastructure that goes to them to being a separate cost and aligned to them so that it doesn't come on to the manufacturers and the other businesses and consumers like ourselves. That's a very big concern right now.
All right, Assemblyman Bill Conrad, I lied. I have one more question. Is it too early? Is it too early to overreact to the Sabres?
I watched last night, and I was actually at my son's hockey practice, and I was watching with a bunch of dads. And I don't know. Are those? I'll ask you a question, Joe. Are those rumors true that the NHL is worried about the Sabres and that they're concerned and might take action somehow? I mean, that was the rumor walking around the table and last night, that literally the NHL is concerned.
Well, there were 12 NHL games, and for some reason, Gary Bettman decided to come to Buffalo, which always
I saw that. Yeah,
always has my antenna up. Like,
I go, oh no. And we also, I think we've traditionally had what, some of the youngest teams ever in the NHL. I mean, for crying out loud, you know, you got to have some leadership and some folks in there that allow you to kind of been there, done that, you know, persevere in tough spaces. And when you keep bringing in younger guys and expecting the world out of them, you know, it takes time.
It does.
I think we're really good at training those guys.
Do you
for the next level.
Do you realize the chances that the city of Buffalo would have the NFL drought they had and now the NHL drought was 1 in 290 million?
I had no idea.
Well,
where did you get that fact, Joe?
Someone posted it on X before the season started.
No kidding.
Yeah. And I mean, someone like, you know, at TSN, I'm not, you know, not some random person.
Oh, I was going to say, is it, you know, a nameless face somewhere?
No,
and
this was,
you know,
this was someone over at TSN. They said there was a 1 in 290 million chance that something like that would happen to one city. And here we are. Let's hope.
Did they put the bandits into the equation?
Well, you know, because that's the banners. The banners in the arenas, the bandits. But you know what, Assemblyman? I still believe the Sabres drought will end this year. I have hope because, gosh, you got to have something. It's only October 10th.
I'll see you at a game, Joe.
All right, sounds good. Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
All right, no problem. Bye.
That is Assemblyman Bill Conrad. Appreciate him and his thoughts. And you heard him. I mean, he's not 100% with his side. And, you know, he's looking at this piece by piece and thinking of his constituents, which, by the way, is what you're supposed to do in government. And like I said, I think most people, if they knew the facts, especially here in Western New York, knew the facts, would be sounding the alarm and would want to know more. 803-0930, star 930. If you have any thoughts on that, we'll discuss that. And when we come back, has politics ever gotten between you and love? It's something I wanted to talk about yesterday. We didn't get to it. We'll get to it today on News Radio 930 WBEN.
When was the last time you thanked God for your health care? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at redeemhealthshare.org.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't care if Monday's blue. Tuesday's gray, yes. And Wednesday too. Thursday, I don't care about you. It's Friday. I'm alone. Welcome back. Welcome in. It is Joe Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Good to be with you on this Friday. Thanks again to Assemblyman Bill Conrad. He reached out yesterday after hearing our discussion on electrification and wanted to clear a few things up and give his thoughts on everything. And that is how it's supposed to be, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm so thankful for Assemblyman Conrad for coming on. And again, I wish other Democrats in Erie County, would do the same thing. You don't agree with something we're saying, or, we're saying something that you want to say, hey, wait a minute, that's not 100% accurate. Well, my phone is always on, and our phones are always open, 803-0930, star 930. Instead of asking members of our newsroom, hey, what's wrong with, talking about us to people who walk by at the Erie County Fair, you could just come on the show. You could just come on and we could discuss the things you disagree with. I mean, it really is that easy. I would have to say, I think all of us here are pretty easy to talk with. I know I'm easy to talk with. Like, and if you feel so strongly, I know I sound like a broken record. If you feel so strongly about something, and you think that what I'm saying is wrong, what David's saying is wrong, what Tom is saying is wrong, I mean, complaining about it to a reporter from the station or to people who are walking by your table at the Erie County Fair, that's not the way to handle it. If you think something we're saying is wrong, you pick up your phone and you call in and you tell us. Then we have a discussion. That's what mature adults do. And like I said, I'm thankful for the people who will come on the station. And like I said, I have good relationships with a lot of elected Democrats in Erie County. And I'm thankful for that. And again, I'm thankful that they trust me enough to reach out and come on the show. And we'll continue. I'll continue doing that because, again, it's about getting both sides. And I, you know how I feel. You know my opinions on things. And I am always willing and eager to hear the other opinion. You're not going to change my mind. I'm not going to change your mind. But, you know, instead of ignoring requests to come on the station, my gosh. I mean, in my opinion, that's part of the problem. That is part of the problem in politics. You don't want to come on the station because the hosts are critical of stuff that you support. Well, again, come on and tell us why we're wrong. That's life. How many times I have to have a discussion with my wife when she thinks I'm wrong about something? Now, we know I tend to be right. No, I'm kidding, of course. I'm rarely right in these discussions, but, you know, we don't just ignore each other. We're not children. We're raising a child, so we can't be children. We have to be mature adults. You would like to think the people in charge in the Rath building, at the Erie County Democrats, you'd like to think these are mature people. Yet I have the Erie County Democrats, the page blocked me on X. Jeremy Zellner blocked me on X. And you have a county executive who won't come on this show or any of the shows on the station. Instead, he makes a comment to people in the press pool or to people walking by at the Erie County Fair. Again, whatever. If that's how you want to run things, if you think that's the mature way to run things, fine. Again, I am grateful for the Democrats that will talk with me. And again, Bill Conrad, Mitch Nowakowski, Brian Nowak, Kevin Hardwick. It's actually a pretty long list if you think about it. Brian Culpa, Sean Lavin. Again, people I do not politically agree with most of the time, but they're not running away. They'll come on here. They know I disagree. I mean, Mitch Nowakowski, I could text him right now, and if he's not in a meeting, he'll come on and debate something. Right? Again, we know we don't agree. They'll come on and talk. They'll come on for two reasons. Number one, I do believe I'm a likable person. But number two, more importantly, they care about what they represent. Again, I might think their way to handle things is not right, but they do care about their constituents. And you know, like I said, I can say that for the people I just mentioned. Again, we don't agree politically. But they'll come on the station. They don't run away from people who don't think like them, which, again, I think is part of the problem in today's politics. Too many people run away from those who disagree with them. They don't run to those discussions. And like I said, if there was a liberal-leaning station in town, well, there is. It's NPR. But if there was a local liberal-leaning station, anytime they asked me to come on, I would. Like I would love to have those conversations. I look back when I was the assistant producer on Leslie Marshall's show. Leslie and I don't think the same politically, but she would always ask my opinion on things. We'd always have debates and discussions around what was going on in politics at that time. But again, that's what life is supposed to be. And if you're going to be an elected official, if you're going to be there and represent people who did and didn't vote for you, then you have to actually have conversations with people who did and didn't vote for you. Not run away from them, not ignore them, not block them on social media. Again, I thought all that was done when I graduated college or high school. And like I said, when I think Erie County politics, I think of the Bowling for Soup song, High School Never Ends. 803-0930, star 930. We have on the line Phil Nanula. He is the CEO of Essex Homes, and he would like to, he has some comments on what we just heard in the first segment. Phil, thank you so much for calling in.
Great for being able to call in. Joe, I really was pleased to hear Assemblyman's comments from someone from that side of the aisle. We haven't heard that reasonableness other than from the other side of the aisle. And, you know, I'd like to clear up a few things on what's happening and when it's happening, if you'd like. From a building standpoint, well, first of all, this bill affects not only new homes, but any buildings up to 7 stories. So it also affects commercial. It's not just residential. A lot of people aren't aware of that. The other thing is that the law currently goes into effect January 1st of 2026. So any permit application that's received after January 1st would need to be all electric. So what that really means in reality is that the people that we're going to contract with right now need to be all electric. You know, for us to prepare a building permit application, we have to have complete sets of drawings done, all kinds of other attachments that are needed, grading plans and manual J reports and things like that. So it's a complex process. So for us to get involved with the customer now, by the time we were able to complete that for them, we would miss that date.
Okay, so, and that's in concrete? I mean, that's in stone?
Well, that's the law.
That's, okay.
What would have to happen is if there's going to be any change, if there was going to be a pause, if there was going to be any, you know, opportunity to change the timing of this, but we have to act on the two parallels. If we do get the pause, great. If we don't get the pause, we have to be prepared to move forward.
I mean, now, so you've talked with members of the assembly on the Republican side of the aisle, correct?
Yes, I have. I was at the press conference on Wednesday,
and with our friend Paul, Assemblyman Paul Bologna. I mean, they also wrote a letter to the governor. Now you hear from Conrad that, you know, he's also been in talks with the governor's staff. I mean, Phil, from your perspective, someone who's in this business, what would be the benefit of them not putting a stay or a pause on this legislation?
It would all be political. It would all be initiatives that they're trying to get this passed. I just feel like the logicalness of it, the logic of it, I should say, has not been applied. Let me tell you right now, we are not ready for this. We are already getting pushback from utilities. So normal house is built with 200 amp service, and all electric house would have to be built with 400 amp service. We just had a situation in one of our communities where we just wanted a 300 amp service for a larger home, and it couldn't be done. They had to physically come to the site and change the transformer to accommodate that request. And we build 700 homes a year in Erie County. They're not going to go change 700 transformers if that's the case. I mean, that might be extreme, but let's cut it in half. They're not going to change 350 transformers. So the fact of the matter is we have a grandfather bill sitting in Albany. It's been tabled. And what that grandfather bill did is it took all the existing neighborhoods off the table and let them finish the way they were designed. When we put a new development in, it is engineered for gas and electric. All the infrastructure in that site is based off of those calculations. So to switch a switch, no pun intended, to all electric on a neighborhood that's not designed for that, it is just logical it's not going to work.
Yeah, and Phil, we had someone call in yesterday who had an all-electric home in the 70s and said that it was very quickly they decided this wasn't the way to go. And now, Phil, I can't imagine. It doesn't seem like many things have changed in 50 years. That's still going to probably be the reaction of people who move into these all-electric homes.
Well, let me phrase it this way. If the people in favor of this, the groups that are trying to push this through, they're saying that it's cheaper to build a house with electric and it's less costly to run it with electric. Now, anyone that says that is not a builder and they haven't actually done it. But I'll tell you this, if it was true, we'd already be doing it. If it was less costly to build a house with all electric, why wouldn't the builders be offering that to their clients? If it was less expensive to run, why wouldn't the clients be demanding us to put it in?
Yeah, Phil, when you say it that way, that seems pretty obvious, but I hadn't thought of it that way. But you're right. If it was cheaper, a lot of people would be doing that now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we're fighting this battle, you know, with a government that has an agenda that doesn't want to listen to the logic. We've been accused, because this has been out there for 2 years. We've been accused that why aren't we ready? If the builders have known for 2 years, why aren't we ready? And my response to that is, we are ready. As I said earlier, I could build an all-electric house tomorrow. I know how to do it. I know what equipment it needs. I know exactly how to do it. But when I go to hook up at the street to power that house, that's where we hit a wall. Because it isn't designed for that.
Very interesting. Phil, really appreciate the insight. Thank you so much for calling in. Phil Nanula, CEO of Essex Homes. Really appreciate that insight. Dominic Cortez, you hear him on Saturdays at 10 a.m. Dominic, you've been on top of this as well. You were at that same announcement on Wednesday. You know, Phil said, we're not ready for that. I mean, do you see a time where we would ever be ready to completely do away with gas?
You know, first of all, Joe, thanks for embracing the topic. And I know it's timely and we're all passionate about this. And, you know, it's always good to hear from the other side. It's unfortunate that the other side just doesn't make any sense when it comes to this discussion. And on the question, yeah, we will never, in my opinion, be ready. And you can ask grid people, people that work in the grid, a national grid and NYSEG, you can ask them if they think electrification is fail-proof, and they will tell you no. The whole nature of how electricity works has flaws in it, and yet we have put all of our eggs in that basket. And what's really truly ironic here is when you look at how reliable, dependable, and affordable natural gas is, where is it that it became the enemy? I have no idea. I remember when they touted the fact that the NFTA was putting out natural gas buses, and they were going to be the new cutting edge of, you know, technology and energy consciousness, gas-powered buses. And now the whole idea that, you know, makes the other side cringe that something gas powered is going to be running down our streets, but yet we're allowing electric powered vehicles to run down our streets and the hazards that come from lithium ion. So the ironies here are just abound. But the biggest thing, Joe, that we need to get across to our audience on WBEN is the only person that we need to be talking to now to make a change is the governor. I texted you her number yesterday. We should put it up on our station's website. We need to get the governor to hear us. And this is the last frontier for us, is to get to the governor. Because if we don't get to her, if January 1 is going to come and it's going to happen, and we are going to have electrification as part of our society, which is a travesty. Because when people die in a house that's brand new, that they're frozen out of, that will be a real tragedy.
Dominic, let me ask you this. We've got 2 minutes before the break. Let's say this goes forward the way in January 1st and no more gas hookups. How long does that legislation have to be in effect before we're at the point of no return to where the damage has been done?
That's it. January 1, the threshold for new building permits expires December 31st. On gas hookups. So as of January 1st, 2026, a brand new house cannot have a gas hookup. So that's the date. That's the drop dead date, December 31st of this year.
Are you surprised? You know, this is something, I remember the first time someone called in with this, and, you know, I was like, well, there's no way they're not going to extend that or something. I mean, are you surprised how many people are still confused, number one, or completely clueless that this is happening in January?
Well, that's a very good question and a very good point. And I think if you're not in the new home market, you're tuned out to the reality that this is happening, because it only is affecting the first wave of this is only affecting new homes. It is coming for the rest of us, so stay tuned. It's coming for the rest of us in 2030. And in that date, that's the next date where we'll see appliances go away for all of us. And that will be the next big hurdle that we'll have to jump over together. So, that's the date, and we have to be ready for it.
Dominic, I'll tell you, this is crazy what's happening January 1st, if it actually happens. But the appliance ban, I'll tell you, no way we can get to that point and have now the state telling us what appliances we can and can't have in our home.
Well, it seems it's truly amazing that that's going to happen, but it is on the books to happen. And I hope there's some reasoning of minds between now and then. People call Governor Hochul's number, 518-474-8390. That's the last hope we have, is to get the governor to realize how ridiculous this is and sign some executive order to slow this down so that we can be more reasonable in our approach.
I agree. Dominic, we'll be listening for you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Thank you so much for calling in.
All right, Joe. Take care.
That is Dominic Cortese. You hear him every Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Definitely tune in. And questions you have for him about this, obviously he'll be taking your calls 10 a.m. tomorrow after Peter Hunt here on News Radio 930 WBEN. I'll be back after the news with Mr. Tom Puckett on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hey, hour number two. Hope your Friday is going well. 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the show. We've been talking about electrification, and Bruce in North Tonawanda has been on hold during the break. Want to get to him before we switch gears. Bruce, thank you so much for hanging on during the break.
Thank you, sir. Question, and who's advising the politicians that this is a good idea? Well, that was my one question. Nobody seemed to answer that.
Probably Greta Thunberg, it sounds like. But go ahead.
I work on a school bus. I'm an aide for special needs children. We have 53 buses in our terminal. If they all switch to electric, that might work. Two blocks away is our other terminal, who has 60 buses. Down the street from me, this is all just in North Tonawanda, is another bus that they have to have, I'm not sure of their number, has to have at least 30 to 40 buses. Sweet Home School District, they have, I don't know how many that they have a huge amount of buses. If we all switch to electric, I know for a fact that our power grid will not take this. We had brownouts today, this year, with just all the heat we had and people running the air conditioning. I don't understand why the new builds have to go all electric on January 1st, because that's going to put more of a strain on the power grid. My electric bill just for the summer was $260, and that was with me just running fans, no air conditioning. My gas bill is $66. So I don't understand where this is coming from. Do lobbyists take care of this?
It's this climate, you know, climate change, this new Green Deal initiative, this feel good legislation. But Bruce, you said it perfectly. Think about what happens when it's really hot. You got the heat that strains the grid. You've got, everyone has their air conditioning on full blast. I mean, you don't even have this in legislation yet, right? New builds are not yet forced to go electric hookups, and you already have the governor saying to set your AC to 76 degrees. I mean, that's before any of this legislation takes place. Just imagine, you know, the houses they're building down the street from you, if that whole cul-de-sac goes all electric. Just imagine what that means within a year or two of new builds going all on the grid.
Well, I forgot to mention Metrobus. They have electric buses now too.
That's right. Metrobus schools. And this is why the governor has been, you know, panicking, saying we need nuclear energy. Yeah, nuclear energy sounds great unless it's in your backyard. You know what I mean? Like they throw this all out there, and it's, we're gonna put this in effect and we'll figure it out later. We're gonna go through with it and we'll figure it out later. That's what it sounds like Albany is doing.
Yeah. Well. I guess I'm going to pay for it, won't I? I forgot to mention, I'm a senior citizen on a fixed income.
We're all going to pay for it, Bruce. We're all going to pay for it.
Well, thanks very much for listening to me rabble.
You made some great points, Bruce. I appreciate the call as always. 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the show. You know, on Monday, I was talking about, how I do believe some politicians like the division more than the unity, right? I've said that. And there are politicians out there that want us more. They think they benefit off us being divided. That's why they will post things divisive 4 minutes before a bill's kickoff. Now, Josh Shapiro, who I don't particularly agree with, he was putting he put a tweet out yesterday about how he was going to watch the Phils on TV, and they were going to force a game five. Then he was going to watch the Eagles and the Flyers. And again, I give him credit for not, for trying to, bring the people of Philadelphia together and unite around their sports teams. He went 0-3, though, on all those picks. I thought that was funny. Now, winter is here. And, well, it's almost here. Fall is here, and then winter will follow. And, we all look for a way to get out. Some of us look for a way to take in Christmas lights and all that stuff around the Christmas time, or many kids, many schools get that week off in Florida in February, and people want to go to Florida. They want to go to the Southwest, maybe. They want to go somewhere where it's warm and they can thaw out from the freezing cold that is Western New York. Many people go to Disney World, to Orlando. Now, a lot of people who don't have kids go to Disney World. I'm not one to judge, right? I drive 6-7 times a year to Blacksburg, Virginia to see a football team that has 2 wins. So I am not the person to criticize anything people decide to do, correct? However, Disney World has, been, since I can remember, that's the place. You see the commercials. Hey, you just won the Super Bowl. Where are you going? We're going to Disney World. And, it's this magical place. And you hear so much about Disney World, and you got to take your family to Disney World. Now, I went to Disney World when I was in fifth grade. My parents brought us down there. It was a fun time, right? It was a memorable trip because I was 10. And, yeah, it was cool. My buddy and I went to Blizzard Beach when I was helping him move back from Florida Atlantic. We had a fun time. It was just one day at one of the parks at Disney World. And then I was in Orlando for the ACC Championship game in 2016. Didn't really go into the parks, but was there in Orlando. So this is just a very small sample size that I'm saying I think Disney parks are highly overrated. And I think, now I get it. Someone texted me before the show, a friend of mine texted me to say, it's more than just the rides. And yeah, I know, right? You've got Epcot, you've got all, there's a lot to do, right? They've got, it used to be called MGM. I'm not sure what it's called now, that park. I remember thinking that was cool when I was a kid, right? Yeah, it's one of those places where I think a lot of people would say you have to go once. I'm not saying that, but I think a lot of people would say you have to go once. And believe me, I am sure my wife and I will bring our son there one time. I guarantee that will happen. But when you look at the price to go to Disney World and to take in everything, again, I'll go back to 2010, went to Blizzard Beach. And most of the time it was just waiting in line to do something, right? I didn't have to wait in line to have lunch. At a waiting table. But you're waiting in line to do stuff in the prices that people are paying. Well, Disney just announced that it's raising ticket prices yet again at its two major U.S. theme parks, citing higher labor costs. Visitors to Disneyland, that's the one in Anaheim, will face the largest price jumps. The park's Tier 6 one-day ticket, used on the busiest, highest-demand days, went from $224 per adult. That's a 126% jump in the past decade. The popular 5-day park hopper pass at Disneyland and Disney California Adventure, $655. Now, I understand there's things that are only at Disney World, or only at Disneyland, right? Doritos were invented at Disneyland. You can only go there to get the original Doritos. I get it. But you know what's a fun place in the summer? Darien Lake. And you're not spending $655. And there's rides, there's games, there's shows. There's a water park. There's a hotel. You could spend 2 days at Darien Lake and not spend what 1 day would cost you at Disney World. Right? And, you know, I think of Florida. You've got, in May, went to Cape Coral. That's a fun town. Stuff to do. There's the golf right there. Yeah, there's no amusement park that I saw. That was fun. I'd much rather do that than go to Disney World. Again, I know we're talking about trips for your family. And I did this on Wednesday. I said, what do you expect to spend on a night out with your family in Buffalo? Right? My question now is, what is acceptable and what is completely outrageous to spend on a family vacation? 803-0930, star 930. And I want to know, from those of you who have been more recently than me, is Disney World, Disneyland, are these two of the most overrated places in America? 803-0930, star 930. And if it's not, I want to know, what's the most overhyped vacation spot you've been to? You heard so much about it, you got there, and it was a dud. It was awful. It was a waste of money. We've all been on that vacation. What was that vacation for you? 803-0930, star 930. You could also go on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, 803-0930. Or if you want to tell me what is so great about Disney World, I'll take that call as well. Are you someone who's gone back numerous times? I have a friend who goes at least once a year. What is that thing that brings you back to Disney World? Because I can get season tickets and two PSLs at the new stadium for less than it would cost to bring my family to Disney World. And I would never do it now anyway. My son's too young. He wouldn't remember that. 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the show. And I want to hear from people who love Disney World and people who think Disney World is overrated. And I also want to hear, because a lot of people in the text board are disagreeing with me. If you disagree that Disney World is overrated, have you ever been to a hyped up vacation spot that when you were done with the vacation, you said, this place is overrated, there's no point in coming back? And you can't say Las Vegas because you're obviously lying. No, I'm just kidding. You can say whatever your opinion is. I'll give you one. I went to Los Angeles last year for a wedding, right? And then afterwards, we spent a few days in Santa Monica. Now, don't get me wrong. I had fun. You know, I was there with family. I had fun. But do I think the Santa Monica Pier is overhyped? 100%. I think, number one, the Atlantic Ocean beats the Pacific Ocean every day of the week. The Atlantic Ocean's where it's at, right? But, you know, Santa Monica, yeah, we were at a very nice hotel facing the water. But you know what? There were homeless people. I'm sorry. Unhoused people all over the place. You had to step over people to get to the pier. In my opinion, the pier, it just looked old. It just looked old. Now, some people would disagree with that. But I thought Santa Monica, Los Angeles, overhyped, right? Now, as much as I disagree with decisions that have been made in New York City, my experiences in New York City, I would not say are overhyped. I enjoyed my time in New York City. I think LA, overhyped. I think Santa Monica, overhyped. Again, I had fun. I had fun because of the people I was there with. But it's not the kind of thing I didn't come back and go, Tanner, you got to get to Santa Monica. You got to get to the pier. No. I was like, this is what people are talking about? There were some great restaurants around the hotel. and it was fun to take the electric scooter safely out, but it's, I'm not putting it on the list of places I have to get back to. Again, Atlantic Ocean beats the Pacific Ocean every day of the week. 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the show. Will is up there in Lockport. Will, you are a Disney World expert.
Well, I used to take my ex-wife now and my kids, probably before my kids were born, and my oldest is 21 now. I've been there many, many times. It has definitely got to the point where it's just overpriced. I won't go there again for various reasons, but I did just want to say, like, when you mentioned that you could go to Darien Lake, I'm sorry, I know it's cheaper, but yeah, there's no comparison from Darien Lake to Disney World. Sorry.
Okay, so
and I won't go there again, but because it's just not my cup of tea anymore. But
you mentioned, Will, you mentioned that you and your ex-wife went before you had kids.
Yeah, we would go before we had kids, and then we took our kids there pretty much every summer because I have family down there too.
So what would you do? What would you guys do without kids at Disney World? Give me like an idea of what there is to do for two adults hanging around Disney World.
Well, I'm not. I was going there basically because my ex-wife loved it, so I was.
Well, you're
going
a good
there
guy.
For her, so,
you're a good guy.
It still was not for me, but you go around. She was a big, huge Disney fan, so just whatever she wanted, basically.
Well, look at that. I mean, look at that, Will. At least you gave her the trip she wanted. But now, okay, so you're saying Darien Lake, nowhere close to Disney World. So what separates the two?
Everything that they do at Disney, they do it, like, it's all done top-notch, like, down to the very fine details, everything pretty much is done. Like, when you're waiting in line, you got to look all around. They, if you're like on whatever ride, the floor will be done and you'll notice things there. And it's very beautiful. It's very well thought out. The way that they build it, like I say, just down to the very fine details.
All right. Well, Will, I appreciate you shedding some light on this, and thank you so much, Will in Lockport. Mike wants to make a similar claim. Mike, Disney, what keeps bringing you back?
Nothing anymore. It's too overpriced now. Prices jumped crazy after COVID. But before that, I mean, it's like an immersive experience from the time you get off the plane to the time you get back on it. So you can't really compare it to Darien Lake. Darien Lake's like it's like a trip to the grocery store in comparison. I mean, it's to echo what the last guy said, I mean, it's just gotten insanely expensive. What used to cost us around $5,000 for a week in Disney with the kids and everything is now around almost $30,000 if we did it the same way.
$30,000?
Yeah, I mean, it's insane and that's in probably 6 years, that's how much the prices have changed.
Now, that's if you want to go to every park while you're down there?
Yeah, I mean, there's four parks. There's two water parks. I mean, they even give you the water park for free, you know, if you stay at a Disney hotel. But it's still, like, it doesn't even make a dent in the increase in price.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you, I do know the water parks. The one water park, Blizzard Beach. That was my favorite one. But I can't believe it's jumped that much. And I read the article, and I still can't believe when you put it that way, Mike. Appreciate the call, Mike in Clarence. 803-0930, $30,000. I mean, just think about that. To take your family to Disney World, I mean, you could do, and I am not comparing these two. I'm saying you could do a week at Myrtle Beach for, you know, a fraction of that. Now, I love Myrtle Beach. You know, I grew up going to Sunset Beach, North Carolina, right north of Myrtle Beach. We'd always do a day at Myrtle, and, you know, there's a bunch of stuff to do. I love putt-putt. If you don't like putt-putt, maybe Myrtle Beach is not the place for you. But $5,000 sounds a little ridiculous. I mean, here's a question for the Disney people out there for after the break. 803-0930, star 930. Can you have a good experience by just going to two parks? Say you take the family down there and you just pick two parks and you stay off of the Disney campus. Can you still have a good time? Or does it have to be all the parks every time you go down there? I'm genuinely interested. 803-0930, star 930. Is Disney World and Disneyland overrated, overhyped, or are you big fans? 803-0930, star 930. And what is the most overhyped vacation spot you've been to? You got there after all the hype, and after a few days or after a week, you said, I never want to do this again. 803-0930, star 930. It's Beamer on News Radio 930, WBEN.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief. Yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at redeemhealthshare.org.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Obviously from The Lion King, Elton John, Can You Feel the Love Tonight? This song always makes me think of someone I used to work with at Bed Bath & Beyond. Not the song itself, but this song came on, you know, it was on one of the music stations we'd play at the Triple B. And he said that he could never enjoy that song because at that point, Elton John's voice was already shot. And I go, that's crazy. Like, I think Elton John sounds great in that song. He goes, I can't listen to anything Elton John post-1980. You can tell his voice completely started to go after the 70s. And every time I hear that, because that was the song that was on when he said that. And when that song comes on, I think of that comment. I know, crazy. That comment was like 15 years ago, and I still think about it. 803-0930, star 930, asking a few questions about Disney World and Disneyland, as Disney is about to raise its rates at the parks again. So it's not just your Disney Plus subscription that's going up. And then I'm asking, is Disney overhyped or not? And then if it's not, or if you don't want to talk about Disney, what is the most overhyped vacation spot you've been to? 803-0930, star 930. We've got two here. We'll take them in order. Jim in Tonawanda. Jim, thanks for hanging on.
I sort of agree with you. Right now, the price to go is very high. they have packages. You can go through a travel agent and get days and the meal package and all that. But my wife and family, we've been going like twice a year for probably 40 years. And, you know, my grandkids like to go to the park. So they may do one day, but like we're going in November. So we'll go over to the hotels and see all the Christmas decorations. You know, they got the gingerbread house at the Floridian. Just hop on the monorail. We go to two or three different hotels. And we'll go to the Bills Bar right outside of Disney and watch the Miami game. Buffalo's at Miami that Sunday when we're there. And that's just fabulous. It's like being at the game. But Fort Wilderness, most people don't go there. But Chip and Dale come to the campfire every night. They have a water pageant that comes down. That's all free. But if you're only going there once, kids want to go to the park. And if you're going to go to the four parks, like you said, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. It's really pricey now. I'm just glad that, you know, my grandkids aren't park crazy. But, I mean, there's plenty to do. Disney Springs, they got entertainment every night. Bands every couple of 500 feet, there's a different band playing.
I'll tell you, Jim, I just want to go now for the Bills Backers Bar in Orlando. That sounds great.
Well, actually, the guy's from Hamburg.
Oh, nice.
Place is called Kitty O'Shea's. And you got to get there. Unfortunately, you got to get there about an hour and a half, 2 hours early if you want to, you know, get a spot inside. Outside, they got smoking, so I don't want to be there. Right. But, you know, but with the Miami game, it'll probably be at every bar in Orlando.
For sure. But, now, Jim, let me ask. So you said if you go once, you know, you're going to have to do all the parks. But if you do it as an annual thing, then it's not a necessity to go to all the parks. You go, oh, well, we'll hit that park up next year. Or can you do that kind of thing?
Well, yeah. And like we'll pool hop. And as long as the weather is good, we'll go over to, you know, Caribbean Beach. We'll go over to Port Orleans, pack our bag. I always have a car, so I go to Winn-Dixie or whatever, or Publix, and, you know, we'll go to a few character, you know, Hoop-Dee-Doo over at Fort Wilderness is probably the best value. You get, you know, all you can drink, wine and beer and the food and the show. It's about $75 a head. It's probably the best deal they got.
Yeah, I mean, dinner and a show, can't do better than that.
Yeah, but I mean, most people with their young... First of all, I don't know how we used to do the summer. I mean, it's just wait. I mean, and we go November and we go February. The summer is just, you know, I don't know how they do it. But, I mean, with kids off, that's when they go. But, you know, I had friends that went there and the kids, all they wanted, they spent a fortune. All they wanted to do was go to the pool. It was too hot to go to the park.
Yeah. Hey, Jim, appreciate the insight. Jim and Tonawanda going very soon, and Bill's Backers Bar. I mean, you got me on that. Like, I might go and check out the Bill's Backers Bar in Orlando. That sounds pretty cool. Dave in Lakeview. Now, Dave, Dave texted in the show, and I'm glad that he followed through and called in. Dave in Lakeview. Dave, your thoughts on this topic?
Mr. Joe Beamer, first and foremost, congratulations on your show. 1-3 is the highlight of my day.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
Yep, it's well-deserved for your own show. So me and my family, family of four, I got right now a 12-year-old who's going to be 13 soon and a 10-year-old who's going to be 11. We've been doing Disney for about 8 years now. We typically go about every 2 years. Our next trip is planned in June. There are three different tiers of hotels that you can stay at. You've got your budget hotels, the mid-grade hotels, and the higher-end hotels. We typically stay at the mid-grade hotels. So we're staying at Port Orleans French Quarter. We're doing 7 nights this trip and 5 park days. So we tend to do the castle, Magic Kingdom, twice because it's so big and you can do so much there. And then we do all the other parks for one full day. And then we're going to add in a rest day where we can go to the swimming or go check out Disney Springs. But anyways, our cost for this, for a mid-grade hotel for 7 nights, is about $4,100. Now, that doesn't include food. You can add a food package onto it, but the food package includes alcohol, which increases the price. Typically, for like a lunch or a dinner quick service meal, you're looking at like $16 a person. that's not terrible. I mean, you can get up to $18 or whatever, or you can go to a sit-down restaurant and spend, I don't know, $40 a plate. But if you're looking at a budget-friendly trip to Disney, you can do it for under $5,000. We're going to drive down to Disney this time and take a couple stops on the way down there just to save on a cost of a flight. But for a budget-friendly family trip, you can do Disney very easily for under $5,000.
Now, Dave, let me ask, does doing that trip in June save you money, or is it the same as if I went over the winter?
Typically, the winter months are a little bit cheaper, like let's say February or so. You can get better deals. It's a little bit cheaper. We opted out not to go in February this time because both of our kids are going to be in middle school and we don't want to pull them out of school for that extended amount of time and have them have to make up a whole bunch of schoolwork and whatnot. If you go during like spring break or winter break like that, holy cow, the prices are doubled. They take advantage of that time off. Like around the holidays, like Christmas and spring breaks and stuff like that, the prices are a lot more money. But if you try to pick dates where it's low volume, prices do get low. Also, travel agents for Disney are 100% free. You can get a travel agent. They help you out with the planning of everything. And they also look for deals and discounts and apply those to your trip. We just got a $1,200 discount because of a package or whatever that was released, and my travel agent applied it to my plan and got it down to like around $4,100. It's well worth looking into getting a travel agent. They help you out. They book everything. They answer all your questions, and they just do everything for you. The price of your Disney vacation, whether you use a travel agent or not, is included in your cost. So if you go to Disney website and you book your own trip, you're still paying for a travel agent whether you're using one or not. So it's your best advice to grab a Disney travel agent and they just take care of it all. And all you got to do is just sit back and enjoy the ride.
Now, let me ask you. So I'm looking at the Port Orleans French Quarter right now and the pool has a slide and everything. Does that take part of one of the water parks?
Nope, that's actually included in the actual resort that you're staying at. There are, I believe, two other water park specific parks in the Disney property that you can go to. I think you have to buy a park pass for those specific ones. We normally don't do those because we have a nice pool at our resort.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, it looks nice. Well, Dave, that is a complete that's a contradiction of what the last caller said, but you said, hey, if you want to do this under $5,000, you can and actually enjoy it, and you laid it all out. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, thank you, Dave. Thanks for the kind words as well. Dave in Lakeview, and now we'll go to my mom in Amherst because she told me she was going to call Janet in Amherst. And, Mom, can I say the good news on air?
Yeah, sure.
As of today, it was confirmed my mom is cancer-free, so we can all a round of applause. Janet in Amherst, Mom, thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
By the way, cancer-free, but she does have an infection. So, you know, hey, we'll take the win.
Can't have everything.
That's right.
I totally agree with you about Disney World. I mean, It's a great place. It's beautiful. I'm glad I went once. I'm not an amusement park person, and some people are. I mean, some people love to ride rides. It's not me. I know it's got pretty gardens, and it's beautifully landscaped. I have a friend that works there from college, and she still works there. She's my age. And I said something to her about thinking it was overrated. I mean, at a party last summer, and she bit my ear for the next 2 hours telling me how great Disney was and how well they treat their employees. And it sounds like it's a great organization, but I think one of the funny, ironic things, they were talking about the price increase on a TV show, Fox and Friends, and they were talking to this family of four, and the dad was laying out how much they paid just to go for the day. And he said a lot of the time was waiting in line, and it was a little frustrating. And they asked the girl, she was probably the daughter about 12, I would say, and the host said, what did you like most about your day at Disney? What was your favorite thing? And she said, I liked waiting in the line. And she said, why? She said, because I get to talk to my parents and we get to spend time together. So there's the takeaway. You're spending all $30,000, you're a parent. Your kids probably just want your time.
So where would you say is a better vacation spot for the family, Mom?
I don't know if there's a better. There's a little, I mean, cheaper for sure. I think something that, you know, that are pretty. You take. I know you'll disagree with me on this, but yeah, I'm from Virginia, so I'm biased. But a day in Williamsburg, it's beautiful. Williamsburg is absolutely gorgeous in the summer. It's not as hot as Florida.
There's a water park.
It's gorgeous. There's a water park you could spend some time at. You could stroll down Main Street and take the tour, and your kids could learn a lot about American history. I think, you know, some college students today and young people today, if they understood more about this country and how it was founded, the people that fought for it and the principles that it was founded on, they would have a better appreciation for this country. I think there's, but I'm a history nut. I'm not an amusement park person. Everybody has their preference, but you could also go over to Busch Gardens and spend the day. And it's not as, it's a again, Busch Gardens is beautiful. There's all kinds of shows and, you know, half the cost of Disney, I'm sure. But, you know, it's everybody's preference. But I do think I went as a kid. I went three times, I think three or four times as a kid. When I look back at my memories of my trips with my parents and things, those trips aren't like, wow, I remember, you know, it's not on the top list of highlights of the time I had with my parents and my family.
No, I will say about Williamsburg, I think you just have to bring your children when they're the right age so they understand what you're trying to teach them.
Well, possibly. I know you and your sister did not care for it.
No, but that's a trip now at 37. I'd love. Let's get in the car and go down there.
You missed your chance.
As a history nut, you didn't know my Andrew Jackson trivia question. But go.
No, I remembered it after you told me, but no, I did not remember that. Mrs. Gordon would be unhappy with me. But yes, I do think that, you know, I think like D.C. is a wonderful place now, but it's safe too. The monuments are great. The Smithsonian has so many wonderful things.
You're still waiting in line, though.
Wonderful. And it's all free.
It's all free, but like if you want to go to the Washington Monument, you're waiting in line. I mean, you're not getting rid of the lines by going to D.C.
Yeah. No, you're sure. True. Yeah.
I got to tour the White House, Mom, in 2009, so that was my...
yeah, you're lucky.
That was my... Yeah. Thank you to Congressman Brian Higgins for allowing our student government into the White House in 2009. That was the highlight of the trip.
Yeah. And I'm not bashing Disney. I think they got a great thing going. But it is and they're very good at marketing.
Yes.
It is also, I think, somewhat of a, you know, nobody likes to say, I went to Aldi and got my groceries. You'd rather say, I went to Wegmans. And nobody wants to say, I went to Darien Lake for the day. People want to say, I went to Disney. You know, that ambiance or something. It's impressing people.
But,
you know,
I mean, I did hear correctly that you and Dad are taking all the grandkids to Disney World one of these years, right?
Yeah, when they're a little older.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Someone put in the text board, well, your mother never took you to Disney. That's not true. We did go to Disney World.
No, we did.
We went
once, and your father had never been. And when we left, we were walking out the last day, and I said, so what do you think? Because you'd never been, you know. And he said, it's an amusement park. It's a nice amusement park, but it's an amusement park. You know, that's not my thing.
No.
Okay.
No. And then we were in Orlando in 2016 for the ACC championship game, and the closest thing I got to Disney was the Mickey Mouse waffle at the free breakfast. So.
Well, I remember sitting around the pool, and our friend Kathy said, don't you want to just drive down there for the day and just go, nope.
No.
Just walk through some shots, do a little like, just, no.
I'm here for a football game. Come on now.
I'm good, just sitting here outside the pool.
All right, Mom, appreciate your insight. We got someone that's on the other side of the Disney debate. Appreciate the call as always.
Okay, thanks.
Bye. That is Janet in Amherst, 803-0930. Star 930 gets you on the show. Tom Bowerly has a program, and it is coming up next here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Just some notes for the weekend. Sunday, Hardline, and we've got a packed show for you this Sunday morning. Want to start at the end of the show, we'll have Congresswoman Claudia Tenney. You heard from Congressman Nick Langworthy yesterday. We'll have Claudia Tenney on Hardline talking about the shutdown, talking about the peace deal that we saw the first phase, or we're seeing the first phase, and we'll see more of those hostages released over the weekend. Again, the deadline, I believe, is Monday or Tuesday. For the hostages. So we'll talk with Claudia Tenney. We'll also focus in on the city of Tonawanda. I always have to remember the city, not the town, the city of Tonawanda council election. Bill Simon is running in that election. He'll join us. We're hoping to have other candidates from that as well. Josh Collins got the signatures he needed in Hamburg. He'll let us know what that means. And Frank Todaro talking about the Erie County legislature passing AM radio in all cars legislation. So that is on Hardline this weekend. As I said, Tom Bowerly is up next, getting you started on this weekend. Tom, what is ahead?
Well, actually, what we've done here with Odyssey is the legislation is actually going to call for mandatory AM radio in every automobile, but it has to be tuned to News Radio 930 WBEN.
Beautiful.
Now, we worked that into the legislation, although during Bills games, people will be allowed to listen to our sister station.
It's good. It just has, as long as it's Odyssey, you got it on the AM dial.
Yeah, absolutely. Odyssey. And coming up, you know, Joe, this electrification thing is such a big deal. And I kind of warned yesterday that I might bring it back today. And I'm definitely going to start out with that. But you stole Phil Nanula from me. I thought we might talk today with Phil, but you stole him from... All right, he called in on his own.
He called in on his own, Tom.
I know, dude, I got to break your cojones. You know what I'm saying? And then the Nobel Prize. I think we learned today the difficulty. Do you see the irony here, Joe? Because the people who award the Nobel Peace Prize could not look past their own left-wing ideology and make peace with a guy who isn't a left-wing ideologue. And frankly, I cannot think of another human being, Joe, in history who has addressed successfully and has actually ended some very long-term and some short-term conflicts. Teddy Roosevelt was awarded the Nobel Prize for the Russo-Japanese War and getting that resolved. Think about all of the conflicts that Trump has tried to resolve and actually had resolved. And I might add, when I say Trump, it's not just Trump. Obviously, it's a team effort with the administration. I think we all know that, just as it was with Mr. Roosevelt. And by the way, Barack Obama won a Nobel Prize. I know you're very well aware of that. All of the accomplishments that he put forward to world peace, I can't name a single one.
No, I can't either. And you know, Tom, just it's not surprising. But I mean, Trump's there. He's been ending decade-long conflicts. And of course, I mean, they don't like him. And I would have been shocked if they gave it to him, even though I think he is most deserving.
Joe, it's frustrating because Trump for the Nobel Peace Prize was such an obvious choice. Yeah. And basically that prize now, I think we can safely say that prize doesn't mean anything because it isn't a real metric. It isn't a real measure, the Nobel Peace Prize. And the people who award it, again, Joe, they want to award it for peace, but they can't make peace with the truth.
Well said, Tom. Perfectly said. Perfectly said. Tom Bowerly is up next. Hey, if you're looking to listen and the Odyssey app is giving you the little think symbol, remember, you can listen to us on the iHeart app or on the TuneIn app. So if the Odyssey app is giving you trouble, make sure you go to the iHeart app or TuneIn app and type in WBEN. Make sure you're tuned in all day. Tom Bowerly is up next after the news with Tom Puckett. I'll talk to you on Sunday for Hardline here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Have a great weekend. Go Hokies.
When was the last time you thanked God for your health care? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at RedeemHealthShare.org.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.